Hello and welcome to another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast, the podcast about what's really like to bootstrap a company. My name is Tiago, and in this episode, I'll be sharing with you something that we have learned in the past week. We have unlocked a new indie maker entrepreneurial trick, which is kind of crazy because we have been doing this for more than 2 years now, nonstop, always experimenting, always trying new stuff. But yet, there's still things that we are able to unlock from one day to the other. Things that we have never tried, and then we do try, and they change the game completely. So yeah, I'll be sharing that. I think you will be able as well to use this in your own indie projects, which is really, really exciting. But before we get into that, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Twitter at WBTiago, that's my handle. And if you really enjoy this podcast, I will ask you to take 5 seconds to give it a review. So if you are listening on Spotify, Apple, whatever you listen to your podcast, really, you probably can just leave a review, and this will really help to promote the podcast across other listeners. And if you can share this podcast with other indie makers, that would be amazing. Another thing that I always love is if you shoot me a message. So you can just go on Twitter, WBTiago, and just message me or tweet at me, and I'll be sure to answer you. Now, let's get started. One thing that I've learned, or I kind of realized about entrepreneurship, about our type of entrepreneurship, indie making, is that it's not really what I thought it would be. You know, I'm 32 now, getting old. But if you are roughly from the same generation as I am, you grew up in the golden age of the tech world. You grew up seeing Zuckerberg creating Facebook, a huge unicorn company. In his early 20s, he became a millionaire. He changed the world. And then other companies like Apple, Microsoft. You know, when I first finished my college degree, I went to work for a tech company. It's called Trivago, Hotel Trivago. You probably heard of it. And I was kind of finishing college and, you know, really hearing all of these stories about the tech world, hearing these stories about Zuckerberg. I remember back then there was this movie, The Internship, where these famous actors, they were like old kind of dinosaurs that were doing sales jobs, and then they got fired and they went to work for Google. And the whole movie is about promoting Google, promoting that Google tech lifestyle where everyone is super smart and you ride bicycles everywhere and it's super fun and then you have free food and it's amazing. I know that once you actually start working, you see there's a lot of work and not so much time to have fun, especially in these bigger companies like Google and so. But it got me really excited. So when I was searching for my first gig, I wanted something like that. And I searched all across Europe. I am from Portugal, but I knew, okay, we need to find somewhere else because in Portugal, we couldn't find companies like those back then. And I did find Trivago, and it was exactly that. I still remember that feeling of getting there and this new world. Like, I remember telling my parents about the conditions that, you know, Trivago would give us, and they would be like, "Are you sure, Tiago? Are you sure that you have like freedom of schedule and freedom of holidays and you can just take any cereal you want?" Yes. Those were the days. I know things have changed now, and for sure, being a developer, a software engineer, is not as sexy as it was back in the days. But that's where I learned about being in a startup. That's what I thought it would be to run and start a startup. Just raise millions and then invest all that money and just scale really fast and, you know, have that hockey stick growth and change the world. That's what I thought it would be. So when I first started building my companies, I thought that I would need to do something like that. But I discovered indie making, this other style of entrepreneurship, this bootstrapped style, a style where you didn't need to go through the hassle of raising money, and having all that stress, you can just start things from your own home with your laptop. And there were names like Peter Levels and people like them that were making a lot of money. They were very successful. And I thought, wow, amazing. So for the first year and a half or so, I was starting the company like so, but I was still having this mindset of the VC world, of the big unicorns. So I was thinking, okay, I need to take this money, I need to reinvest, I need to find a huge like technique to grow. And it's something related with money for sure. I need to get all this money and hire the right people and find these techniques to this growth, to this hockey stick growth. And that didn't happen. That did not happen. I'm sorry, but if you're starting a business, an indie making business, like, you will not find that type of growth. What happened for us for PodSqueeze is that we did find that type of growth in the first 4 months, 5 months, where everything was new and we just reached the market at the right spot when ChatGPT just started and, you know, everyone was excited, but then we just plateaued. And that's, I think I believe I talked about this in the past episodes. You really become an entrepreneur. You can really test your entrepreneurial skills once you reach the plateau, because then it's where you have to like get all the knowledge, all the marketing, products, sales, everything together and solidify those skills and start growing. So that's what happened. That's what happened with me. And I only actually in the beginning of this year that I started realizing that there's only two ways. There's the startup way and there's the bootstrapping way. There's no mix. So a startup is a different beast. A startup is something different. A startup is not really a business at first. A business for me, and we spoke about this in other episodes, is something that needs to be profitable. It needs to be self-sustainable. A startup is not self-sustainable. For the first years, 5 years, even 10 years, a startup works by getting money from investors, not from the clients, which is kind of crazy. If you want to build a business, a bootstrapping business, you don't have to think as a startup. You need to think about building something that is profitable. You cannot think about hiring a lot. You need to only hire once you have the money. First, you have to pay yourself decent salary, a salary you are happy with. And then, if you have leftovers, then hire. So there is different ways. Like, you're building more like, I guess bootstrapping a business is probably closer to kind of starting a coffee shop than a Facebook type of, you know, business. So we're always learning about marketing. So first we learned about the cold emails, how to send cold emails, how to set up. We learned about the communities like forums, like Reddit and Twitter and LinkedIn, how to use social media. We learned about SEO, so how to rely on Google, how to get, you know, keywords and backlinks and everything you need to basically, when people search for something related to your business on Google, you are in the first three spots. That's really, really important. But there was something that we have tried that we never succeeded until recently. And this is PR. What is PR? Press releases. I know, I guess some of you have never, or you probably heard about this, but you never really thought that maybe I could apply this to my business. For us, we only realized that probably this would be something interesting for us not too long ago, probably in the end of last year. Back then, we were still focused on SEO and we were focused on this thing called backlinks. Basically, you want that a lot of other websites that kind of are in the same industry as you, for PodSqueeze is podcasting, you want them to kind of link to you. And if they have a good authority, so there's basically a scale, let's say from 1 to 100, where 100 is like you are super trustworthy and 0 is like you're super spammy. You want to have as high as possible authority. And if websites with high authority link to your website, Google say, maybe this website should also have good authority because all these other websites that I trust are pointing to them. So we started thinking, okay, how can we get this? And we tried a lot of things. Some worked, some didn't. We tried exchanging backlinks. And by the way, we started a business on that. It's called Rank Chase. didn't work so well, but we did start that. And we were thinking, you know, another great way to get backlinks is to be part of the news. You know, there's a lot of news and blogs and so on. Maybe they want to talk about PodSqueeze. And that's actually a press release. A press release is when you go to the press and they release something new about your company. Normally is that either you just launched the company or you raised money. If you're a VC in the VC world, you know, they get super excited when you raise money. So they'll probably write about that or anything. You know, maybe you just, you know, kind of did something wrong and the press wanted to write about you, whatever. So at first we thought, okay, how do we get these press releases? How do we get there? And obviously, we first started to kind of compile a list of news, you know, tech blogs, tech journals, anything related with kind of podcasting, and we tried to message them. But obviously, no one answered. You know, we just did a cold email. First, with our own inbox, we just shoot a bunch of messages, you know, using the BCC, and no replies. Okay, let's not give up now. Let's do something else. We tried to go on Fiverr and find a bunch of people that were saying, I will do press releases for you. So Jean and I, we just scheduled a call. And these two American ladies showed up, blonde, like typical American. And one thing that I've learned about Americans, and I don't want to stereotype here, I guess. It's funny because every culture has kind of different styles of speaking and so on. But even with my colleagues, American colleagues, you know, they are really good at kind of selling themselves, something that I should be better at, by the way. So when you first start talking with someone from in the USA or even like North America in general, I even feel a little bit intimidated because they sound so professional. So they were like saying, hey, okay, so we'll get you in these top journals and magazines and newspapers, and these are our clients, they are making millions. They're like, oh, okay, that's amazing. And then they say, so the first package starts at 5K a month, and we go from there. And I was like, what? 5K a month? Dude, like, it's absurd. Like for a bootstrapping company like ours, 5K, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like we need to have crazy assured results if you're going to spend that money. So of course we are disappointed. We said, okay, thank you very much. And we stopped the call. And we thought, okay, maybe that's it. Maybe press releases are something that only VC companies can do. But then we discovered something else. Something really interesting. This kind of press releases feeds. It's a bit weird. I still today, I don't fully understand how this works. But basically, if you go on Fiverr and you search for press releases, you'll find these very cheap packages. Well, they say that they will kind of post about you on all the tech blogs and kind of, what is this, like MSN and Yahoo, all this kind of news. And it's quite cheap. It's not 5K. So we thought, something is wrong. Like, how can these people ask for 5K and then these $400 will get us 5, 10 press releases? Well, how this works is that these websites, they kind of sell feeds. So you can buy these, like slots into their blog posts. And these guys from Fiverr, they buy it in bulk, which is cheaper than buying just one. So they will just go there and they'll buy, let's say, 100 slots on this feed. And then they will sell these 100 slots for obviously more than it costs to them to buy. And then it will just go to the feed. They will publish. I don't know how this works, but this kind of blogs like Yahoo and so on, they consume this feed and they kind of share the news. Now, the thing about this is that, first of all, no one reads that shit. No one reads because it's just spam. If anyone can get in, probably you'll get a lot of content that is not so good. And second, most of these links are nofollow links. So nofollow links are these links where basically you're telling Google not to follow. So it's like, hey, I kind of know this guy, but I don't really trust this guy. So yeah, it's linked here, but Google, don't take my word for it. we still did that. And it was nice. It was good because you still have PodSqueeze next to Yahoo and next to names that people know. So it's always good to just get that, get a print screen, share it on LinkedIn. And people were actually excited about this. It's so funny because we get this and we paid $100 to get, and we share it on LinkedIn. And then my friends would come, wow, Tiago, Yahoo. Oh, man, people are talking about you. Tech companies, you know, Americans here in Portugal, people are always excited with like, ooh, American companies talking about PodSqueeze. And, you know, I'll just put my very straight face and say, yeah, you know, we are a big deal. And I knew that we just paid $100 for this. So it was nice for this kind of brand awareness and for the ego, really. For the SEO, not so much. So we got a bit discouraged. We got a bit discouraged with press releases. Because still, if I would do it again, I would still, you know, pay the $100 to get all of these feeds. I think it's always nice. But didn't really make a huge dent. You know, didn't get PodSqueeze in front of real users. But everything changed. Everything changed a few weeks ago. You know, I was thinking about PodSqueeze, like I always do, you know, almost every day. Now thinking about how many people can we actually reach? So this was my reasoning. I was thinking about how many active podcasts there are from those, what percentage, you know, are using tools like PodSqueeze, which are, let's be honest, not super essential. And I came up with a number, you know, 20,000. Okay, in the best scenario, we can reach 20,000 paying users, which is amazing. But where are they? Like, how can we reach them? And that exercise made me think, yeah, they are podcasters, you know, obviously. So we need to find where podcasters hang out. And we have done that in the past. But I don't know, sometimes by just rethinking things, you just unlock new stuff. So I was thinking, podcasters hang out on Reddit. Yeah. There's this subreddit, podcasting subreddit, very active. So I know they are there. And they hang out on Facebook. It's more a little bit more exoteric. But yeah, they're still there. They do not hang out so much on Twitter. They do not hang out so much on LinkedIn. But they like newsletters. And I was thinking, yeah, I mean, there's tons of podcasting newsletters. And some of them, they're quite known. You know, every week I subscribe to a bunch of them and I get all of these news, like podcasting news. There's people that are exciting about this. And there's events as well where people go. But I was thinking about these newsletters and I started subscribing to all of them. Okay, let's get all of them. I want to get all the podcasting news. I want to get into the industry. Then I thought, how do they like get so many news? Like, how are they? There's tools. They're actually mentioning podcasting tools. And then, you know, my eureka moment came. Dude, these are the guys that will be happy about our press releases. These are the guys that are always looking for new stuff around the podcasting industry. And by giving to them, they'll be happy to take it and share because they need content. You know, their business is content. So it's like, let me try this out. Let me shoot a press release to one or two or three of these newsletters, and let's see if it works. And it did. Like the next day we had three press releases. We got press releases in the top newsletters, top podcasting newsletters. I was so excited about this. I shared this with João, and João was like, wow, maybe that's something. And the way João and I work is really funny because I am the excited guy. I always get things and I try things. And he's a little bit more skeptic about things. So he's like, no, it won't work, but I always try. So once it works, he gets excited and then he tries to scale up things. So he just compiled a list of all the newsletters, any language, French, German, Portuguese, whatever, compiled everything. And then he just started sending them emails and saying, hey, we are PodSqueeze and we do this. Are you interested in getting our press releases? And for our surprise, most of them said yes. Most of them said yes. So we were very excited about this. Now we have another way to get backlinks, another way to share our tools, our features with the podcasting community directly to our target customers for free. That's amazing. So we did, And now with GPT, obviously, you can translate all the press releases to any language you want. And just yesterday, we released another one, and it got accepted in a French newsletter, into a German newsletter, even a Japanese newsletter was speaking about us. That's crazy. So this is quite exciting. This is exciting because it will help us on SEO. Will help us as well for the LLMs, Perplexity, ChatGPT. And we will also put eyeballs from real podcasters into PodSqueeze. So it will also help with getting new customers and brand awareness. So yeah, there was my Eureka moment. There was something that we have learned about this. Press releases, at first we're just shooting everywhere, trying to see who would accept this. But obviously that the most interested people in sharing about whatever you want to speak about is the ones that are in the same industry, the ones that live out of this type of content. A tech blog is not that interested in about PodSqueeze. They are interested about the new iPhone or the new VR glasses. They are interested about the shiny new thing. But for podcasting, obviously, they want to know more about podcasting. And you need to find your niche, right? If you are working in a tool for constructions company, you need to find the newsletters that are serving that community. Go as niche as possible, because as niche you can go, the better, right? They'll be more interested about your product, especially if you are a bootstrap company and you don't have all this VC money to kind of dazzle people away. So that's what I've learned. That's what I wanted to share with you today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did enjoy, make sure to share it with your friends. Make sure to give it a review and make sure to shoot me a message just to say, hey, I listened to this. Hey, I like this. I didn't like this. Ask me questions. I just want to know that you are there, and I want to meet other indie makers. I want to meet other people in this community. So my handle on Twitter is WBTiago. And just shoot me DM there. My DMs are open and I will always answer to you. This was another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast. See you next time.